Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Good morning, folks. This is Linda Ballesteros. I am your host today on Empower Radio Show. I'm really excited to be here and excited to present our guests today. To start off, I always want to say thank you for spending some time with me, because you know time is that one commodity that you can't get back. So anytime anyone has either a cup of coffee with you or 5 minutes with you on the phone, just know that that is time that they can't get back. So be sure to acknowledge that and be grateful for that. My guest today is Nicole Newsom-James. She is a licensed massage therapist, Reiki grandmaster, a certified liposage practitioner, sacred Lomi body worker, massage instructor, and a CEU provider for the state of Texas, as well as a non-denominational minister. Nicole believes that all life is a spiritual journey towards balance and healing. And holy cow, do we need some of that in our life today. Nicole, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. And you realize that it's been 6 years since I was on your show the first time this month.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is an anniversary then, Nicole. I'm so
I know. I can't believe it.
That is so exciting. Absolutely. And, you know, so much has happened clearly between, you know, the last 6 years for both of us and for the country and the world as well. But I'd like to really talk about some of the practices that you do and how you help people through some of the craziness that happens to us in our everyday life, because there is no one that can live a day without feeling some stress of some sort. I don't care if you're in traffic. I don't care if you're trying to rush to get the kids, get home, get them fed. And in the bed. There is so much stress out there, Nicole. What is it that you do for people that helps them, and how does that affect their physical health as well?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because our life is so fast-paced that in itself creates stress. Then you add an issue with your spouse, your children, society, you know, crazy incidences that happen in Santa Fe. You just think the whole world is coming to an end, and that's stressful. But taking the time to connect with your spirit, with your higher self, if you will, with God, goddess, whatever your belief system is, and taking the time to connect and just sense who you are as an individual and your life path. What I do with people is in person, because I'm an empath and I pick up on a lot of emotions that they're feeling. So I do distance work with people now, and I look at them to see where they blocked. So I'm in a sense considered an energy worker. I am a non-denominational minister. So when I come through with the Holy Spirit in my Christian belief system. But I also work with all different types of people. You know, I work with Muslims. I work with Hindu. I work with, you know, American Indian. I work with all different besides just Christianity. I mean, there's so much more out there, although we all have the same truth. And I look at what is going on and blocking them from seeing who they are and their life path, and remove that. And then I bring it into their consciousness. And I recommend taking one of my online classes to help them if they don't already have something. A lot of people have gotten into yoga. They've gotten into meditation, which are amazing ways to connect with your spirit. There are many things like Tai Chi, Qigong, martial arts. There are things that get you in touch with your spirit. But it is, when you do that, it's about slowing down, being focused, doing one thing at a time. is what I focus on for them. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely. And this can, you know, it's so much bigger than what we can certainly cover today. But when you talk about suggesting that you slow down, Nicole, where in our day can we slow down? How do you help them to actually implement that? Because it's so easy to say, I don't have time for that.
I know. And a lot of my clients actually do it when they have a session with me, because I get them to slow down. I get them to relax while I'm working on them. They're in their own home. I spend about 30 minutes energetically working on them at a distance. And then we'll have a telephone call where we will talk about what has happened with them and what their blocks are. And then I recommend what the Sisters of Charity recommended for me when I was in their spiritual direction forever, is in the morning, take 5 minutes. And in the evening, take 5 minutes. So in the morning, when you take 5 minutes to connect with yourself, you're setting the tone of the day. In the evening, whenever you take 5 minutes to connect with yourself, you're releasing what's happened during the day so you can have a calm sleep, restful sleep. A lot of times we take what's happened in the day and then we have disruptive sleep. And fortunately, we have dreams, because a lot of times our dreams will process that information. But if we've had too much caffeine, if we've had too many, you know, Red Bulls, if we, you know, if we're not having an adequate nutritional supply, then we won't get rested sleep at night.
You know, I just went to a movie last night. It was Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy. And one of the things that the facilitators suggested was every morning write down 5-10 things that you're grateful for before you even get started. Like you said, that kind of sets the tone. And then in the evening, before you go to sleep, do the same thing. Do you have some practices similar to that that you can kind of share with people that are simple and they can easily do?
I agree with what you just said. That's an excellent way to look at life. And in fact, that saved the lives of many people, from what I've read of spiritual direction, that they get people to remember what they have. Just a quick story, because people don't realize what we do have. I mean, I am thankful, believe it or not, for my toilet, you know, because I have a toilet. I have running water. I have built the last 3 years building a tiny home while I've been living in my tiny home. And when you go without a toilet for 3 months because you have a porta potty, because you haven't gotten your bathroom done, because you're learning how to build a tiny home as you're building a tiny home, you start appreciating the basics of life. I think people have gotten away from even the basics. You know, we have so much in our society. We have electricity, which you never had before. If you had to go down to the river and get a bucket, you know, and pull water in order to take a shower, a bath, cook, think of how long that would take. And this is what people did 50 years ago. I mean, it's not that long ago that this happened. I think we are ungrateful for what we actually have. Look at the people in Puerto Rico with their infrastructure that had fallen apart. And once that hurricane hit, they had no running water. They had no electricity except for the outlying areas of Puerto Rico. Those people are very appreciative of a running toilet and water. Right. Clean water. You know, we forget these things because we have so much. And taking the time, like Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy said, taking the time to look at what you have and really truly be grateful, because think if you didn't have that home, think if you didn't have that bed. Some people don't have beds to sleep on. You know, it's just remembering. You realize the average income for America, I was told this the other day, is $50,000. That's the average income for America.
Wow.
People in Houston are not aware of that. Living in Houston, being in Houston, you think the rest of the world is like Houston. It's not. The rest of the world is struggling. The rest of the world doesn't have the laws to take care of the people. When you're in a small community, you go by what people feel. You go by, you know, what they feel and think and who they've known their whole life. There aren't necessarily the laws in place to take care of people in smaller communities. In Houston, the laws are there. They're there to take care of and help people. And that helps a lot with our society. I think in these smaller towns, look at what happened with Santa Fe. We have got to reach out to our smaller towns and get education. We've got to bring spirituality, not only spirituality, but action, you know, in our spirituality. Prayer is amazing, but then coming together as a group and actually changing laws, making things progress. As you said, coming into our daily practice with my students, I have them Reiki themselves in the morning and Reiki them at night. And for those who are not aware of what Reiki is, it's an energy that comes from universal life force spirit, which is a scientific way, I guess, of saying the Holy Spirit in my terms. But mm-hmm. we don't want to offend any religion or anyone that has an issue with religion by using those terms. Reiki is a complement to all religions. It's like taking a pen and writing. That's a complement to any religion, writing your thoughts, writing your feelings, journaling. Reiki's that way too. It brings in the Holy Spirit in every aspect. And that's kind of what I teach, is how to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, Nicole, you mentioned Santa Fe, and what that means, folks, if you're not familiar with that, is there's a small community just south of Houston where there was a young student that came into the school with guns, and there were many that lost their lives that day. In the Think and Grow Rich, what they talked about was, you know, the connection. And one of the things that you and I have spoken about in the past is how people are not connected, like you mentioned, connected to not only spirit, but connected to people. You were talking about how everybody doesn't have some of the luxuries of life. Well, when I go on to Facebook, Nicole, I see all of these people taking these fancy trips, and I don't have the money to take that trip. So that makes me feel really like I am just not very successful. How much of this do you think, the social media, how much do you think that plays in our disconnectedness?
Oh, a great deal. And I'm sorry I don't remember her name, but the little girl that had dialed 911 and she was in the closet in Santa Fe while the school was being shot up. She dialed 911. She got the police there. She then called her mom, and she was trapped in this closet with other children in there, and they'd already been fired upon, and she was passing her phone to each person that was in there so they could call home and at least speak, you know, to their parents one more time. Sorry, that upsets me.
Right.
But, you know, as brave as she was, as mm-hmm. courageous as she was, and she was also in an interview. Later, she went home, and she was reading her social media, and she was lashed out at because students in her class said she didn't do enough in the school, in the media. And you're like, what? She's a child. Mm-hmm. She was amazingly courageous. How can mm-hmm. this happen? How can you let that type of bullying go on in mm-hmm. such an upsetting situation where this girl was a hero?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So much of it I see, Nicole, and I'm like you. It just breaks my heart to see that happen. And especially, like you said, this little girl was very brave. She had her phone with her. She did everything that she knew to do, and she supported the people, her classmates in there, by letting them make that phone call as well. But I think so much of this is we're missing some of the basics that my parents taught me, and that was to be respectful of each other. And the respect has broken down so much, and being kind to each other. You know, we're all just trying to get through the day. You know, it's like it is not easy. So just trying to get through the day. When as a parent, Nicole, how do you support your child when you see that she's going through something like this? Because one, to have probably, you know, phases or levels of PTSD after that. But how do you help that child walk through an event like that and come out at the end feeling, you know, feeling supported, feeling like, you know, she's not in a spiral? What would you suggest?
Oh my gosh, it's very difficult. I did not have children myself. I have grandchildren now because of my marriage that I think about. So I haven't had to raise a child. But one of the things that I would think to help them understand is that there are a lot of people out there. The reason that they're being so critical is because they can't do anything. And if they can put the blame on you that you didn't do enough, and having, you know, the parent explain this, because these people, a lot of them that are out there stating you should have done more, you should have done this. And yeah, hindsight is great. You know, you can think of all these things, but these people that are saying that, they're upset and they feel helpless. And explaining that to the child to let them know, as helpless as you felt in there, although she was amazingly courageous, they are totally helpless because they found out about it after the fact. You know, a lot of people did found out about it after the fact, and they wanted things to be done differently so this never happened, you know, and it happened. We have to deal with it. But a lot of people don't have the tools, the emotional, the mental tools to deal with this type of violence, with this type of you don't understand why it's happening. And I go back to the fact that both parents are working all the time. You know, and, and that it's very difficult to raise children with two parents that are working. We are not coming together as a community and actually supporting our neighbors and supporting. There are people who are doing this, that don't get me wrong, but there's many of us that are so involved in our own life, like we're talking about stress and so busy. We're not looking to see that our neighbor's son is out smoking in the backyard. We need to let, you know, he's 12. We need to let his parents know. You know, we need to take more action when we see something that we can handle, we can do, to let those children know, look, we care about you. You know, you're my neighbor, but you shouldn't be smoking at the age of 12. You know, when you're an adult, you can make that decision. But right now, I care about your health. You're under my control. You know, I want you to have the best life, and this is why I'm doing this. You know, there's as a community is how we have to come together, because people don't want to just have $50,000 a year that they're living on for a family. Right. You know, both husband and wife making that, okay, then in the world you can actually live. You can survive here because of how much things cost now. And taxes and the health care that you have to pay for now. I mean, that is really significantly taking a chunk out of people's income. So as a community, if we get together, work together, take care of each other, understand that there's something going on with this 17-year-old that maybe he feels like he has to punish the world because of how he was abused. We don't know. You know, we don't know the real story. But there's also a tendency out there now for people to blame other people for everything that they're going through instead of taking personal responsibility for their part in it. You know, a lot of people will push responsibility onto others and energy, send energy to others when it's not even their fault for things that are going on bad in their life. You know, they blame others, whether it be a family member, whether it be what people call the black sheep of the family, you know. There's somebody they have to blame or society they have to blame. And everybody in certain situations are becoming an entitled society. You know, you owe us this, this, and this. Well, wait, how are you contributing to where we owe you this? Am I making sense?
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
I'm very passionate about this.
But what, you know, when you were talking earlier about, you know, we have to connect as a community, I look at, and folks, please don't send me any mail because it doesn't apply to everyone, but this is something that I see a trend, and that trend is something very, very simple, and that is families don't sit down and eat dinner at night. So both parents work. I get that. I was a working mom as well, but I can assure you every night we sat down at dinner every night together, and no one took dinner in their room. No one watched TV in their room. The evenings mm-hmm. were family time, and that is when we were able to talk about our days, able to find out if there were any stresses going on, find out what was going on in our daughter's life. So I think mm-hmm. just simple pieces, it's almost like, you know, a mouse can take small bites, but after a while it can nibble away at something very large. So those small pieces, just like not letting the kids use their phone at night, you know, when mm-hmm. it's family time, not letting them go to their room and be on their computer by themselves or watching TV mm-hmm. in their room, you know, sitting down and having those special talks night over the dinner table. It's so important, Nicole. One of the things mm-hmm. that you also said before we, back when we were in the green room, was that, you know, how important prayer is. So to be able to mm-hmm. teach your children about prayer and actually what prayer is mm-hmm. going to be critical for them to get through every day. Talk a little bit about how your idea of prayer changed as you got older.
Well, when I was young, I didn't really understand the concept of prayer. And, you know, we start school at religious school at a very young age. I mean, you know, we're in church like 4 years old. And as you're going through that, you're listening to all of these words and you don't quite understand what they mean. Your brain's still developing. You're still growing. And you don't have life experience. As you get older and you hear the word prayer, you may still associate it from whenever you were in Sunday school and not really have a full comprehension of what prayer is about. But if you think about energy and you think about the sun, you think about how the sun shines its energy down onto the earth, and that energy actually takes a seed and helps it grow into a plant. That's how prayer is. You are sending energy out into the world for the highest and the best. You are praying for things. When you pray for the world, you're praying for that. You're praying for the world. You're praying that these things that have been happening in these schools don't happen anymore. And you ask, you know, for legislatures to come in or people who are smarter than I am. I can't think mm-hmm. of what needs to mm-hmm. be done. And that's why I pray. But when you pray, then you have someone else that's praying in another home. You have someone else that's praying across the world for the good of the planet. That energy goes out and it becomes a magnet. It becomes a magnet that these people are praying the same thing. This needs to happen in the world. And then I don't know if you've ever heard of the 100th monkey theory. Have you
No.
heard of that?
No, I haven't.
There's, and I'm probably going to slaughter the story, but there's a story about energy. And what happens is that here are all these monkeys and the fruit's falling to the ground. And so they're picking up the fruit and they're eating the fruit. Well, the fruit happens to have sand in it, you know, but they don't care because it's food and they need it. And this one monkey happens to notice that there's a piece of fruit floating in the water. And the fruit takes a bite. And he's like, oh, man, this is the best tasting fruit ever. And so then he sees another one in the water and he takes a bite. He can't find any more in the water. So he finds one that's in the dirt, goes and picks it up, takes a bite. And he's like, wait, this isn't so good. So he runs over to the water and puts it in the water and then takes a bite. Oh, yeah, man, this is awesome. And so other monkeys start to see him and are like, what are you doing? And he's like, taste the fruit this way. Go pick that up and go put it in the water. There's something about this water that makes it taste really good. And so then all the monkeys are noticing, and the word gets around and around and around until the 100th monkey. Once it hits the 100th monkey, there's like this energy bomb that goes out, just like you drop a pebble in the water and how the vibration goes out from the water. That's how it goes out with the hits the 100th monkey. And then everybody knows that fruit tastes better once it's dipped in the water.
Mm.
So that's the 100th monkey theory.
Mm.
So if we have 100 people praying for change, then once that 100th person comes in and prays, it goes out through the world that this change is needed.
It's almost like that's the tipping point.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those that are listening, if they want to help Santa Fe, if they want to help prevent this from happening again, how would they pray? What prayer would they say to prevent that ripple? Because that's a negative ripple going out, isn't it, Nicole?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is, because obviously more people are getting that message because this is happening in all of our schools. I would have them pray for those people that are in positions of power to make changes, that they have the knowledge downloaded into them to make these changes that are necessary, those people that know what needs to be done to step up and make these changes. Mm-hmm. Because we have to support our politicians because they're courageous enough to become politicians. Once you become a politician, oh my God, you know, you think social media is bad. These people have to put up with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
our prayers for them help them do their job. Our energies that we send of love, of being positive, of understanding and having faith in them, it gives them the power to change and make a difference in our community. Even President Trump, I know there's so many people out there that are, you know, down on him and, you know, not going to talk about who I voted for, but, you know, he wasn't my first choice. but we have to pray for him because he is handling the world in a way that's like a businessman is. This is the first time we've ever had a businessman in the world up there. This is a person that knows about, you know, finances, that knows about, it's a whole nother ball game having him there. And so mm-hmm. if we can pray and shift him towards the healthier aspect of himself and towards moving in a direction that supports us and the positive things and changes that we want. If everybody was praying for his good and praying for him to be a successful, honorable, you know, ethical president, I think he would really amaze everyone. I mm-hmm. just think we need to send those powers of prayer out and mm-hmm. and have that change, have that shift. Mm-hmm. And I think politicians shouldn't be so critical of each other. I think they're all there to help us, and we need to stop criticizing everything that everyone else does and looking at the good that those people are doing. Because when you look at the good that they're doing, more good happens. You know, when
well,
you look at the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say that there again, it goes so much of it goes back to respect. When you see adults on the television that don't even have respect for each other, it certainly has a way of getting that negative message out there. I know you're a big supporter of the principles. And one of those, the first HUNA principle is the world is what you think it is. So that's just mm-hmm. what you're saying. If we really send out some loving and supportive and encouraging energy out there, then it will be what we see it is. And I'm not saying, folks, that it's like putting on rose-colored glasses where you don't see anything. It's more
yeah.
about sending encouraging prayers out there to those in positions that can make those decisions and that they, like Nicole says, they have the tools, they have the knowledge to make the decisions that's not only going to protect our children when they're in public schools, but that's also going to protect us and, you know, the workforce and everybody else out there, because it doesn't stop just at the schools. We've seen it happen in the workplace as well.
Yes.
So,
yes,
Nicole, I know we've been spending a lot of time on the current affairs of the world right now, but I would really like, we need to take a quick commercial break, but I would really like to talk about alternative options for mm-hmm. healing and for health. So when we come back, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about how what you do is different than what maybe an allopathic practitioner would do. So if you don't mind, we'll come back and shift the topic just a little bit and talk a little
okay.
bit more about healing our body. So folks, if you'll hang on and stay tuned, we'll be right back with more from Nicole Newsom.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone.
Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. Gambone.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Hey folks, welcome back to Empower Radio Show. This is Linda Ballesteros, and our guest today is Nicole Newsom-James. And Nicole, I know that you do a lot of energy work with clients and have for years. Us a little bit about how what you do can either complement allopathic medicine or sometimes give someone another option.
Well, there's so much to talk about. I don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that it can complement any type of medicine, alternative, traditional, whatever people are going through, is by calming the person down. The work that I do teaches people to go to their center, helps them remove any blocks to peace of mind that they have. And then I also recommend whether it be Reiki, them learning Reiki, whether they need to just meditate, whether they need to get into I work with the Sisters of Charity in the past, and they have a Ruah Center, which is a spiritual retreat center. And so a lot of times I'll recommend for people to go to them and go to different spiritual retreat centers that I'm aware of, just, you know, once a month, take a 2-day retreat to center and get back into themselves. So that's how I work, is really calming a person down, because a lot of the, gosh, in my opinion, 90% of the illnesses are caused because of stress. This is one way of helping decrease that stress, which then decreases the illness's effect on somebody's body. And then looking at the regular things that we teach people, their nutrition, are you getting exercise, enough sleep? So many people are sleep deprived. So many people are getting 4 and 5 hours sleep a night. When our bodies are made to get 8 and 10 hours sleep a night, you know, you're going to have some illnesses because of that. And so that's in complementing other types of healing. Reiki itself, in what I do, is there and energetically analyze what is going on with the person by looking at their chakras, looking at their energy system. And I can do this at a distance. Unless you've studied and trained the way I have, it's very hard for people to understand how that works. You won't unless you've had training. And so when I look at what's going on, a lot of times I have found for a physical illness, it's a mental block. It's something that somebody had happen to them either in their childhood, in their teenage years, when they were younger at some point, something traumatic happened to them. And they had misinformation based on that trauma that then compiles itself on misinformation, then more information is built upon that. And as I go to the root of the issue and pull out that energetic origin, if you will, that energetic root, then the healing can triple forward. It can start from age 4 and then start tripling
and coming forward to today's time, because you have to erase all of that misinformation that's stopping up in your body creating this illness. And so once that happens, then a person can heal. Now, people can do this on their own. They don't necessarily need me, but some people don't take the time to do it on their own. They don't take the time because they're, again, in a fast-paced society. They have all these obligations. They have, you know, family that they have to take care of. They have job responsibilities. And then maybe if they're lucky, they have a little social life. You know, it's like, So what I do personally is look at the blocks, remove the blocks, and then educate the conscious mind as to why this occurred.
And so, Nicole, how can someone work with you? If someone's listening right now and they're thinking, you know, I've tried a lot of things and I am still not getting the results that I want. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a terminal disease, just I don't feel myself anymore. And if they're interested in, you know, finding out more about you, how would they do that, Nicole? Where would they find more information about you, or how could they get in touch with you?
Well, I have a website, and I have myself listed and my partners listed on there. And then we have the students that have taken classes with me. A lot of them are listed there, too. If they go to the website, which is SpiritSense.com, that's Spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T, Sense, S-E-N-S-E-L-L-C.com, they'll find all the information that they need. They could go to the About Nicole page, which then links them to other pages. And they're also welcome to call me at 918-443-0592, and I can be text messaged there also. That's 918-443-0592. So those are the two ways that they can get a hold of me and also get more information.
And it's not just, I mean, you are so much more than what you've been able to describe. So I know that you have a lot of workshops and online training on your website. So sometimes people like to test it out before they actually reach out to you. So what type of classes, online classes, can they take from your website?
Well, I have, I've taken the traditional Reiki classes, Reiki 1, 2, and 3, which are also on the website, but I've turned them into practical daily type of classes to where Reiki level 1, in essence, has been put into a 4-week class that you can study at home. And it's done in a way that helps you use it in your everyday life. A lot of times when Reiki came out to begin with, it was about a spiritual life, you know, becoming, in essence, for lack of a better word, a monk, and having your own personal relationship with God. I've taken the tools that we've learned in a traditional Reiki class and turned them into practical things that you can do, how to pray in form of your body, using the energy of your body, how to create your future as you would like for it to be created with the highest and best aspects. And if things do not turn out the way you want them to turn out, it explains to you how to find out why, and maybe it's just not time for it yet, and then other ways to handle your life. I have a lot of mothers who take the classes and they go into the Reiki level 2 or Build Your Dream, Live Your Dream session, whichever they're going to take. It's the same information but presented in different ways. And it teaches them how to work on their children, teaches them how to work on what they want to bring into their children's lives, magnetizing their children to bring them the highest and the best, and to keep them safe. And it's tools that mothers use to feel more confident, because you're sending your child out in the world to a school that's no longer safe. You know, these are ways that you can prepare and pray and protect your child and feel empowered and safe in doing that for them.
And that is certainly something that we, you know, we all want to do, is feel safe, that when we put our children on the school bus, that, you know, we'll be bringing them off of the school bus in the, in the evening. So to have tools that can help to reduce that anxiety, if nothing else, and just so that they can enjoy the school day. I mean, I remember when, you know, school was fun. Well, we want to be able to create that same environment for our children so that they enjoy it as well. Nicole, we're down to the end of the show. So we've got down to those last three questions. And the first one is, when you have been faced with obstacles in the past, what kept you going?
Well, when I was young, I had a very close friend who's still a friend of mine. And this was before I really trusted my spirit. She helped me through things. She would listen to me. So I think having your foundation of people that you trust, that you can share no matter if you messed up, no matter what happened in your life, you can share everything about your life with. I feel like that is very important.
Mm-hmm. And for some people, it's family. And for some people, it's a close circle of friends. You know, so it doesn't have to look a certain way to
right.
have that person. They don't have to wear a certain hat to play that important role in your life. So,
well,
absolutely.
I think the main thing is to know that after you spoke with someone that you feel is a core person in your group, you feel empowered mm-hmm. and
yep.
not disempowered. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people keep people in their lives that are taking energy from them, especially healers. As healers, mm-hmm. we have to really identify who is helping us and who is just there to help themselves, because we give so much, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that was a hard lesson for me. I gave so much for so long that it was hard for me to have actually good people in a group stay around me.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. The next question mm-hmm. is, other than a coach, who has influenced you the most?
Oh my gosh, God, the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. Let me look at people from his perspective and help me understand that even the people who are bullies out there have their stories, that they are hurt people and that's why they're doing what they're doing. Having compassion for those that are not living in integrity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the yeah. Holy Spirit sent to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. The last question is there one thing that you would have liked to have known early on that you can share with our listeners today? So is there something that you, that it took you a while to realize the importance of that, that maybe you can share that will shorten someone else's distance in learning that?
I don't know if it can shorten someone else's, but when yeah. I was given permission and told that I was a good person, I grew up in a family that was a broken family, if you will, and a lot of people can have this claim. I've never met my biological father. I have my biological mother who then remarried, and then I was had a step parent who then adopted me as an adult. And during all of that broken time in there before the family became whole, I didn't know I was a good person. I felt like all this was happening because of me as a child, and being told that I was good and that I was enough. You know, what I'm contributing to this world is what I'm meant to contribute. I'm not meant to contribute what Sally's contributing. I'm not meant to contribute what Cindy's contributing. I am meant to contribute what I am contributing. I am not a carbon copy of anybody. I'm an original self, and that's enough.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say it that way, because that's exactly the way it was said on the Think and Grow Rich video.
Oh, really?
Last night, that you're an original. You're not a copy of anything. So
interesting.
That's interesting.
Well, maybe
that
100th
that.
Monkey theory is going out there.
That maybe so. Maybe so. Nicole, it's been great having you on the show today. One more time.
Thank
what
you.
Is your website, and how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, my website is spiritsensellc.com, and my phone number is 918-443-0592, and I look forward to everyone contacting me.
Wonderful.
Thank you so
Thanks
much,
again,
Linda.
Nicole. Absolutely. No, folks, I hope that you have gotten a sense of an option out there. I want you to know that you don't have to wait to be ill. You don't have to wait to be facing a crisis, whether it's a mental, physical, or even a spiritual crisis, to reach out to some of absolutely phenomenal healers out there, energy healers like Nicole Newsom James. Get in touch with her. Check out her website. She's got some great courses out there. If nothing else, you can learn to do some of those techniques for yourself to help you get through the day. So as always, I'm going to leave you with a quick quote, and the quote goes like this. The greatest medicine of all is to teach people how not to need it. And that is by an unknown author, but I thought it was appropriate for today. One more time, the greatest medicine of all is to teach people how not to need it. And that's what Nicole Newsom James does. Be sure to contact her. Thanks again, folks. Look forward to having you next time.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business. Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.